Welcome to the Women and Wealth Podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Today we're going to be talking about fees. I should say that again. We're talking about fees. It's a very big word. Esther, on our last podcast, you said and you hinted to the fact that we're going to be talking about fees and how some advisors charge and how you charge and how people pay for your services. What do we start with today?
Well, a lot in this industry, when people think of a financial advisor, what do they think of? They think of the portfolio. They think of investment management, mm-hmm. all the commercials on TV saying, you know, we will help envision your tomorrow. And, you know, you think of people and investment. That's so much about how our industry is geared is to the investments. And people or advisors saying, well, we'll beat the market or we'll keep you in. And that's all people really talk or advertise or market around. So the industry's really traditionally been focused solely on that investment management and mm-hmm. charging based on portfolio size.
Got it.
Assets under management. And how we work is the portfolio is very critical. We always visualize, though, I like to visualize a client's financial life as a pie, where if you think of that circle of the pie, the investment portfolio are very important to that successful pie. Or if you think of it as a vehicle, you know, you can have a vehicle and it may be the portfolio is the engine that delivers out the income and the growth, but you can't have a vehicle without a brake system that's running well, transmission, all the electrical wiring, fully properly inflated tires, mm-hmm. all of that maintenance, fresh oil. So we really look at it that the investments are a critical portion, but they're not the entirety of what makes up a successful foundation for one's overall life.
Okay. So if we're looking at it that way, what's the difference between charging for the AUM, like you said, the assets under management for mm-hmm. the portfolio, or maybe a fee-based planner?
So a fee only is what we are. So we only charge flat fees, or we can charge AUM fees on the portfolio. And I typically, again, it's based on the client situation mm-hmm. and everything's tailored to them. But we typically charge a smaller than the normal market 1% on assets that we are overseeing, plus a flat fee quarterly for all the other work that goes into what creates this strong foundation and keeps, I'm mixing metaphors, but keeps that vehicle moving smoothly mm-hmm. down the road.
Yeah. And that makes sense. I mean, that when you talk about fee only, and that's, you said that's what we are.
Yes.
So how does that work? Can you give me an example of a client that comes in and says, here's what I've got and how you make that determination?
So the main thing with fee only is we don't charge commissions on anything that we recommend or advise.
Gotcha.
Or if we recommend other professionals to come in, because we're not expert on every single area that we look at. We're not estate planning attorneys. We're not tax professionals. We're not insurance professionals. We're not organizing professionals, because I use them too. But we bring those people in and we don't make referral fees to them, nor on investments that we recommend. We don't make revenue based on what we recommend. We don't make revenue based on where we place the assets. It's purely the client who pays us the flat fee. And we make the determination often based on complexity of their situation and what needs to be in play and at what time.
I've worked with advisors for a very, very long time, and fee only is really kind of the only advisor I want to work with anymore. Frankly, because too often the ones that are not fee only that are making commissions are in it for a sale. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to could rejigger, if that's a word, rejigger a plan to include as many things that they can make a commission on, because that's how mm-hmm. they get paid, or that's one of the ways they get paid, and they want to get paid more. I think that's a bit selfish, and I don't think that that's truly, honestly, I don't think that's being a very, very good fiduciary, which we've spoken about on this podcast before. So I love the fact that you are fee-only and that you work with your clients in that capacity. So again, could you give me an example of a client that would, just like a snapshot so that the audience can understand what kind of clients you work with and what mm-hmm. it looks like when they come in and the complexity that you're speaking of?
So let me give you an example. A prospective client is coming in, and he is a small business owner. Okay. And he and his partner are looking to retire in the next several to 10 years. And when I asked, well, what's creating that time frame, it's because his business is housed in a business that he rents, in a building, excuse me, that he rents, and it is tied to lease renewal periods. All right. So he doesn't have full control over that. And in the planning, we look at with this particular client, they are prospective client, I should say. They have actually saved well, but for this part of the country, because it's so expensive, what they have saved in investments would not be enough to fund a retirement. But this is where, again, with the way we work with Gates Pass and how we charge, et cetera, we look at the overall picture. They have illiquid assets, his business, and also they have the home. And they do have, they came in with the consideration of selling the home and moving away. So one of the things that we have in our network as fee-only advisors is we're looking, okay, I asked him, what is, do you have a sense of what your business is worth? He doesn't know, which is not unusual for a small business owner. So we have a network of professionals that we go to that we've vetted. Again, as I mentioned just a moment ago, we don't get referral fees based on these people. They're just people that we know are good, conscious professionals, experienced, knowledgeable. And I have in my network a business valuation expert who loves working with small homegrown businesses. He and his firm actually work with, higher corporate, et cetera, but they love working with small homegrown businesses. And so that would be a critical piece. Let's value this business and see what it's worth, see what the marketability of it. And that's one piece of what we do in the planning. We also do the discussion because often, like people, it's very hard to say, what will I do in retirement? And especially for an entrepreneur, a business owner, most business owners, they don't necessarily want to just hang around in retirement. Let's say after this gentleman would sell his business. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even necessarily want to sell his business. He loves what he does, but he looks around and goes, gosh, all my employees are heading towards retirement too. I've had all these people with me as a team for decades, but they're talking about retirement. And do I want to go out and train a whole new group of people at this point? I really don't. So it's difficult for people to consider, gosh, this is coming to a change. This is coming to a transition. And we have tools and resources to help start to visualize what that can look like. And part of what people are coming to us is give me a picture of what that could look like. What are my options? So we really work collaboratively mm-hmm. in terms of, well, what, you know, tell me more about who you are and what you want to do. And then we look at the different assets that they have, the home. How and when could that come into play? Do they need a market analysis, which here, because inventory is so thin here, realtors are more than happy to give you a market analysis, but we really select very carefully the realtors that we recommend to come in. They're not just, you know, we don't just pick up the phone and call anybody because we don't want our clients hounded. Mm-hmm. And look at the home and then look at the liquid portfolio. Is it invested appropriately? In this particular case, there were investments in IRAs that really didn't make sense for IRAs or tax-deferred plans that were basically in money market and had just been sitting in money market for years and years and years, missing the appreciation of the market. And then we look at safety nets. You know, what is in place if there's a future health event, if there's a market downturn? How is the portfolio that you have built around that? What do we think are pieces that need to come in? And looking at estate planning, is there an estate plan in place? Often it is unusual that people come in with a fully current estate plan unless they were referred to us by an estate planning attorney.
All right.
So these, when we also have a client who needs either an update or an estate plan period, we often look and review all of these items so that when they go into the estate planning attorney, they're not paying for the estate planning attorney to ask them all these questions. Not that we're replacing the attorney's knowledge, but to have clarity about, well, who do you want to have handle your assets if either of you are unavailable? Where do you want your assets to go? Where does one partner want their assets to go? Where does the other, or is it the same? It's all about gaining clarity. And through all of these different areas, talking about liquid assets, illiquid assets, safety nets, estate planning, tax planning, it is all about cash flow. What cash flow do you think you'll need in retirement? How does that play out? So we look at this, the entirety of the whole situation, and make an assessment and make recommendations through this process.
Got it. So that's the plan, right? You've made the plan. What comes next after you've got the, obviously it's a very complex process and you take a lot of time to do that and build that foundation. What happens next?
Yeah, the plan process typically takes anywhere between 3 and 6 months. And that difference is really based on the availability of the client providing information to us that we need and their availability for meetings to review and discuss, and the complexity. Once the plan is done, then we don't own a client. They can leave at that time. I don't recommend it, because when I used to do my practice that way, I used to say, sure, come and see me in a year, no problem. And when they came back a year later, some of the recommendations, because it was all on them to implement the recommendations, some would be implemented, some not. And a year later, things can shift and change to where we really have to do a lot of that plan work kind of again before we get the ship back pointing in the right direction. So I recommend that we stay on for these ongoing services. And it brings to mind another client that we have that we've completed the planning for. We have we're heading towards a specific direction, and they have a particular investment that's a long-term family investment. It's a family limited partnership, and the primary asset is one that basically was passed on from my client's grandparents' time, and that asset is being sold at the end of this year.
Okay.
And it is a family limited partnership, which means that it's all the client's family members are the different limited partners in this partnership. But it's not like it's husband, wife, and their 2.2 children. It is the client's siblings, sibling spouses, their children. I mean, it's a whole big group of people. Now, can you imagine, Eric, sitting down with your family and extended family and saying, we all own an investment together? And it needs to all be divvied up at this point. Let's all decide on a path of how we want to do this.
That sounds like a really fun time to me. I mean, that's, yeah, if my sarcasm isn't coming through on this podcast, it was dripping with sarcasm. I love my family, but that is not a discussion I want to have.
No, it's really complicated because on one hand, a limited partnership is itself complicated. The tax code around it has complexity as well. And then you throw in however we all navigate together as a family when we're not talking about money. Mm-hmm. Does everyone get along? Does everyone like each other? And then you throw on the fact that this is a critical investment that has significant ramifications. It is not easy. So we are there to help our client step through each part of this process in terms of, well, what makes the most sense for them? And our clients are smart people. but they're not necessarily educated or experienced in all these different types of assets, nor are we deep on all of these assets, but I'll talk about that in a moment. The main thing in this particular case is because of that it being invested in real estate, limited partnership, all of the gains have been deferred and they've been taking income, and this is normal. If they all transition together or group transitions together to another real estate investment or investments within the partnership, they continue to defer the gains on that investment. If they come out of it and say, you know what, I'm done with dealing with the family and all of that, love you guys, but I really don't want to do investing with you anymore, then now that money becomes taxable to them, taxable income. And in this case, for our clients, that could impact them. If they did it, if they did it incorrectly, it could be a tune of a six-figure mistake.
Wow.
It really significant. And there, this piece about this particular situation on this case, it involves tax planning, it involves income planning, it involves estate planning. And if I just come back for a moment, this has nothing to do with how the S&P 500 is doing this year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, their investment portfolio is one thing, but this is an entirely different situation that could impact them significantly and is causing an extreme amount of thought and deliberation and time. So a big piece that we've been working on with them is the tax planning piece and getting to the bottom line of the taxability, which means going through the client to their family, and then the client keeps learning more themselves as they continue on through this year. But there was an erroneous assumption made that is often made that people forget when they're thinking of capital gains. If I sell an asset at more than I bought it for, the difference between what I bought it for, the cost basis, and what I sell it for is a capital gain. So let's say it's $100. And on a tax return, if we have losses that total, if we have capital losses, we can use those losses to offset our gains. So if I have $100 of losses, I can offset that $100 of gain and have no tax liability.
Got it.
We use this a lot in our ongoing work with clients. It's critical in terms of what is their tax situation? What's happening? How can we make sure that they're not paying too much tax as much as we can do that? Let's make sure we're cognizant and proactive around that. What often gets to be the mistake is people do an additional calculation. They go, okay, I have $100 of gain, and so the tax on that would be about 30% in the state of California plus the federal, and that would be about $30. And people go, woo, I hardly have any tax to pay at all. That's great. And this client made that assumption and started moving forward with going into contract for a property that would be a vacation rental, and they were completely planning to take all of this money out of the family limited partnership, purchase this home. And when they reached out to me, it wasn't closed. They had just moved forward, and we basically intervened and said, you have to come in. We have to talk about this, because that's not a correct tax calculation. Secondly, let's look at what you're spending to purchase this home. What will the ongoing expenses be? And let's sit here and just do back of the envelope calculations. Let's go through it step by step.
All right.
And I know how I can be. I know if I see something out there that I really want, that would be something my family would really love and really appreciate, I can understand that, yeah, I just want to go for it. I just want to get this thing. This is something I've thought about and it's there. Our role is to intervene and make sure that the client isn't inadvertently stepping into what may feel great at the moment and understandably be something that they want, but turn around and really debilitate them in 8 months from now when they have to pay the tax, or ongoing when the, and I have seen this a lot, I really like real estate as an investment, but what I have seen a number of times in my experience over the past 25 years is those who purchase the investment property and then it doesn't generate the income they expect, or there's a recession or a downturn, people aren't renting it. Well, that's the same issue. It's not generating the income they expect. The expenses are more than anticipated. And then gradually over the time, they're like, well, I don't really feel like going up there anymore to this place, but I still have it. And again, that's not 100%, but it's enough where maybe 60% of the time that it's really important to slow down and look at each piece. So again, with this particular client, we have a network of other advisors. We connected them with a CPA and met with them and the CPA. We'd already had a call with the CPA probably, I don't know, I think that was last year or the end of last year, that this was being considered and how might it work. But we met with them face-to-face and sat down, reviewed each scenario. If they took it out and he reviewed with them and we went through, this is where you would pay six figures in tax. So that's, so that you're clear. If we went over, if you ultimately decided in a couple years to take this money out of the partnership, and the couple years is an issue that's going on, it's part of the rules with 1031s. It's partly what the family is agreeing to because of the cash limitations. There's some things going on. So the 2 years, we said, well, what if in 2 years you did decide, yeah, I want to purchase my own vacation property. How would that work? And again, the CPA goes over the rules. You can't, if you have a vacation property, you can only use it for personal use 2 weeks out of the year. That's it.
Wow.
That's it. And that means if you're sharing it with family members and you have it between the other family or families and yourself, 2 weeks, period. And the question was asked, well, how would the IRS know? They don't know what I'm doing. Or in California, the Franchise Tax Board, how would they know? And they said, do you know, 1031 exchanges are very highly, heavily monitored. They're very much watched because the entities want their taxes. They don't want you deferring taxes that you really shouldn't. So they can ask for credit card records to see if you're charging meals and events up in that area. They can ask for cell phone records to see, have you made calls in that area, et cetera. So it's very heavily scrutinized. This particular situation also involves not just the tax planning, but it's estate planning. Our clients are really clear, which is very normal for clients. If they have children, they want their estate equal between each child. Mm-hmm. And in their case, land ownership is a particularly large portion of their overall net worth. And we can sit with them because, again, we're not trying to get them to sell assets to put it in an investment portfolio. We do charge again based on complexity and the time and say, okay, we look at this overall situation. And so we can sit down and say, again, before they go in and sit with the attorney or after they've had the initial review with the attorney, let's look at these parcels of land and what you have and does it work out evenly? And in certain situations where things might not be equal, we talk about how will you discuss this with your children? Let's do a dry run here. Let us know. We can do family meetings. We've done family meetings before where we sit down and just talk about these things, which somehow with a third party who's not emotionally involved or connected, it just goes well. Oh, everybody appreciates that there's a forum to discuss this.
Yeah, I can see how that would be incredibly valuable, again, because somebody else can be the bad guy. Sorry, simplest of terms, somebody else can be the bad guy to bring up the hard questions or state the hard facts that if it comes from a mom or a dad or a grandma or grandpa or a cousin or a brother or sister, it could be seen as something they're doing against me as opposed to you bringing it up and just saying, hey, this is just fact, right? We're not trying to do anything or twist anybody's words. Here are the facts and this is what we're looking at and here's why.
So we can, yeah, you're exactly right. We pull the focus off of particular individuals, whether it be the parents or whomever, and pull out the perspective to say, let's look at the entirety of this situation and step through what all of the ramifications are.
Now, Esther, you gave a couple very, very good examples, but also very specific examples. And if there's somebody listening to this going, I love the idea of the plan, I love the idea of coming in and doing that, but I don't necessarily know what Esther will need to do ongoing. I mean, for these ongoing services, mine's not quite that complex. What would you say to that person?
I would say, let's work through the plan and let's see what's there. We really gain as a collective, not just us, but the client as well. We gain a lot of clarity as we work through the plan for the need for ongoing work. If maybe there isn't a need for ongoing work, but we lay out all the issues and what needs to be implemented. And because of how all of our brains are wired, we can tend to get very narrow focus or blinders on just this one piece, bringing it back full circle to where we started, just the investments. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure my investments are right. And then as we work through the plan and see the impact of various decisions on the success or lack of success on the plan, it really speaks to what are the other things we need to make sure are in place to support those, that structure working ongoing, despite what happens in life that changes. Things 2 years ago, we were working under a completely different tax code. True. Things come up in life that will change what we planned. So it is taking a look overall through the planning process. What needs to be done here?
Esther, to me, it seems like there are a couple different forces here at work, honestly. Internal and external. So internal would be any of your clients that are saying, okay, here's my plan. I like this plan. They're going to be kidding themselves if they think they're not going to make any decisions like, I want to take bigger vacations, or I want a mm-hmm. vacation home, or I want to,
right.
All of a sudden you have a new grandchild. It's just life, right? Life happens. Yep. Those are internal. Then the external, like you just spoke about, the tax law changes, different codes in the city could change, who knows, and changes property issues. Those are the kind of things that you're helping your clients navigate on a daily, monthly, weekly, and annual basis for this ongoing work, I'm assuming.
Right. We're saying, okay, this is where we projected the plan to be. The plan is just a guide. It is not written in stone because of those issues that you mentioned. Yep. So we can navigate through to where's the plan saying what would happen? Now, what did we all think would happen? And here we are 3 months down the road. A very common one is most people aren't tracking their expenses and what's leaving. And so it's like, okay, let's monitor expenses for a while together and see where are we in terms of expenses versus where are we in terms of how much you thought you could save or how much of your savings you thought you would deplete. And so that's just one example of what is in one's control. And then there's a lot of discussion now in the markets about recession, no recession. We have the global trade war going on. What's that impact going to be? How does this leave us in terms of volatility? We are late stage in the economic cycle. Doesn't mean that we won't continue with economic growth for maybe 10 more years. Who knows? But we are late stage. So how do we make sure that the portfolio continues to be aligned with what's going on in one's life? So we find that this is, rather than waiting and saying, okay, I have the plan and it's saying what life will be looking like 10 years down the road. Okay, that looks good. I often recommend don't wait mm-hmm. 3 or 4 more years, lose that valuable resource of time thinking one's being smart by not continuing to engage a professional, because that time is such a valuable resource. Using that example earlier of the business owner whose portfolio for retirement is saved in cash, well, we can adjust that, but they don't get that last 10 years back.
Exactly.
And let's move forward so that all the decisions here that come up are in support of the direction that you want to go in.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm hoping that somebody's listening to this going, you know what? I want that off my plate. That sounds like a great idea to me, because I don't want to have to monitor everything that's going on, the trade war, mm-hmm. changes in taxes, all this other stuff. I don't want to do that. Esther, how do they get a hold of you so they can start this conversation?
Well, I'm going to recommend our website because there are also, there's a whole new section on called Mind Games.
Nice.
And the website is gatespassadvisors.com. You can look for the Mind Games section. These are short videos. They're about a minute long addressing decision-making, current market volatility, recession, and how to think about them in your planning. And then there's a section there called Contact Us, and they can just click there and reach out.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Esther.
Thank you, Eric.
You bet. And thank you all for listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thanks again for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.